Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
It's entitled Apostolic Prayers. And our text is going to be from Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. Acts 2, 41 and 42. The Bible says, then those who gladly received his word, that's Peter's word, were baptized, and that day our 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continue, that's the souls, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's add 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So we are speaking on apostolic prayer, and you need to understand as an introduction that the church of the Lord began with a strong apostolic influence. You understand that that is the way that the church is also going to end. And you know that all the leaders of the church were apostles. All 12 of them were apostles, in fact, including Jesus Christ himself. And so the Bible tells us that the people who came to the Lord, or the early disciples, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and apostles' fellowship. In other words, they were fellowshipping with the apostles. This was not just an ordinary fellowship. It was a fellowship with the apostles. So they continued in the apostles' fellowship and in the breaking of bread, or in the apostles' breaking of bread, or eating lifestyle. There is a eating lifestyle that apostles have. And if God gives me the chance, I'm going to show us these things so that we can bring the word of God down to our day-to-day practical living. So they continued in the apostles' eating lifestyle and in the apostles' prayers. I want us to understand this very carefully, because the Bible does not say that they continued, for example, in the evangelist doctrine, or in the evangelist fellowship, or evangelist breaking of bread, or in evangelist prayer. It does not say they continue in the pastor's doctrine, and then the pastor's fellowship, and the pastor's eating lifestyle, and then the pastor's prayers. It did not say they continue in the prophet's doctrine, or the prophet's fellowship, in the prophet's breaking of bread, and in prophet's prayer, or the teachers. They continued in that of the apostles. You understand that the apostolic office, it blends all of the other four offices that Jesus Christ gave to the church, or four ministry gifts. The apostolic office blends all of these things into a certain general uniqueness that must characterize the church of the living God. You see, when all of the ministries are collapsed, they can form like the apostolic ministry, or the apostolic ministry can flow to the other four ministerial gifts that Jesus Christ gave to the church. But when it collapses like that, it has its own flavor. It has its own uniqueness. That is not prophetic. That is not apostolic. That is not that of a teacher. That is not that of a pastor. It is a certain uniqueness that the apostolic office is able to or stands for, that must influence the church of the living God. So that is something that I want us to understand as an introduction. The word apostle in the Greek means three things. First of all, it means a delegate. And then secondly, it means an ambassador. And then third of all, it means a commissioner. But the translators of the King James Version, they translated any place that they see in the Greek, the word that we call in English apostle, they translated it messenger, apostle, and one who is sent. And of course, it is not a wrong interpretation, because a delegate is somebody who is sent. Like when we are going somewhere and then we have a delegation, an official delegation, we know that they are standing for us and they are representing us somewhere. The ambassador is the same thing. He is somebody who is sent out of his country to represent his country in a foreign land. So an ambassador is also sent, and also a commissioner is also a sent one. So that is what I need to lay as a foundation, that when we talk about apostolic prayers, we are talking about prayers of ambassadors. We are talking about prayers of people who have been sent. Because when you are sent by a nation to go elsewhere, you don't petition your government the way that other citizens who are not representing the nation, so to speak, petitions the government. You have been given a certain authority and you have to pray in a certain way. If you are representing the church as maybe part of a delegation to a special function, once you are standing for the church, there is a way that you talk and there is a way that you pray. And the Bible says that these early disciples, they were taught how to pray as ambassadors, how to pray as delegates, how to pray as apostles. They continued in the apostles' prayers. Hallelujah. And I want us to note something, that you can insert the word ambassador in Acts 2:42 and you will not be wrong. You only have to be bold. Hallelujah. That they continued in the ambassador's doctrine and then their fellowship and the eating life of an ambassador and then the prayers of an ambassador. An ambassador is somebody who is at the head of a country's diplomatic mission in another country. In other words, the ambassador is the leader of the people who are representing one country in another country. There are other people who can represent countries, like the consuls who give out the visas, like the attachés, various attachés, the chargé d'affaires. They are all there in the embassy, but the ambassador is the leader. He is the head of that diplomatic mission of, say, Ghana to Nigeria, or the kingdom of heaven to this earth. Hallelujah. So in a sense, all Christians are ambassadors, or all Christians are sent from their home country to a foreign country, and they are there for a purpose, with a mission to influence or to kingdomize the country in which they are. In this case, this earth. Christians have a mission. We are at the top of God's diplomatic mission on this earth. There are angels and various people who are assisting, but we are the head. We are representing God in the highest form upon the face of this earth. And our mission is to kingdomize this earth, or to bring the kingdom of God down here on this earth, and to perpetuate the culture of heaven down here on this earth, so that at the end of the day, this earth merges with heaven. What is done in heaven is also done on this earth. And that is our mission. And that is our goal. We have to play an influencing function. That is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 tells us. Now, the other thing I want us to understand is that one of the most important things about an ambassador or an apostle is that he is extremely powerful. An apostle is extremely powerful. Somebody who is sent as a delegate or as an ambassador is extremely powerful, because he is actually not even a person. He is a nation, an ambassador. He is a working nation. When he talks, the nation has talked. When he signs an agreement, the nation has signed an agreement. That makes the ambassador a very powerful person, because he has a whole backing of a kingdom of God, or the whole backing of a nation behind him. Whatever he needs, the nation must supply. He enjoys the full backing of his sending nation, or his home nation, in a foreign land. The other thing I want us to lay before we get into apostolic prayer is that an apostle or an ambassador is dead to himself. In other words, when you are selected and you are sent, you are no more yourself. You do not represent yourself. You do not say your own mind. You don't give your own opinion, because you are in a representative capacity. You are an ambassador. You are, as it were, belonging to the nation. The nation takes full control over you. They give you the words to say. You must sign things that the nation wants to sign. Hallelujah. So you are dead to yourself, and you are completely taken over by the country that sent you. You are completely taken over. Your life is not your life anymore. You are representing the kingdom of God upon the face of this earth. And so you are dead to yourself. Now, why do we need apostolic praying? We need apostolic praying because there is a very big gap between what we should have as a church on this earth to do the work of God and what we currently have. There is a huge difference between what God wants us to have and then what we currently have. And so God wants us to do apostolic praying in order to bridge the gap, in order to be able to import from the home country the things that must grow alongside our office and our function on this earth as ambassadors, or as apostles, or as saints people. Hallelujah. I believe that one of the things that the church of the living God needs in order to be able to kingdomize this earth and influence this earth is money. Hallelujah. I believe that what we need is money. It is true, we need other things. But I believe that we don't lack personnel or people to do the work of God and to go all out and to evangelize this earth and to kingdomize this earth and to make sure that the conditions of heaven are the conditions among our people. I believe that in our bid to influence this earth for the Lord, one of the resources that we need is money to be able to do that. And so apostolic prayers is needed for us to bridge this very important gap, for us to have the money that we should have to be able to evangelize and set up churches and build orphanages and build homes for the homeless and provide water for the thirsty and provide food for the hungry and provide clothing for the naked. I believe that the church of the living God, if we should solve the problem of water for the millions of people, humans on the face of this earth, we must be rich to do that. If we should clothe the naked, we must not be naked ourselves. We must have enough, and we should have more than enough to be able to clothe the naked outside. We should have enough to be able to feed the hungry outside. I believe that we should not be hungry ourselves as a church. God wants that the resource that we should have as ambassadors, the backing that we should have as working nations, is becoming is so abundant that we can stand and we can act like a whole nation. A church can stand up and can give promises and fulfill the promises like a nation can do. An individual should be able to stand up and say that if maybe there is no school, in a cake, and that is what made me so sad that we cannot even find a classroom to host a church. Then the Church of the Living God must think about getting them a school, whether it's from the creche through the primary to the JSS to the university. I believe that the Church of the Living God has a unique opportunity to kingdomize this earth and to cause the condition of heaven to prevail among our people on every side, so that they can also witness how the kingdom looks like before heaven. I believe that for us to be able to do all this, then you will understand that there is a far cry from what we should do.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
And what we have to be able to do what we should do. So I'm going to speak to you in a certain manner, and I don't want you to put off what I'm sharing with you, because I believe that the kind of wealth that God wants to inject into the church, your job cannot provide it. Your business cannot provide it. You may not know how, you may not know when, but you must be able to open up and to say the Lord, may your kingdom come among our people. May your kingdom come wherever our church is situated. May your kingdom come on this continent. May it be that the conditions of heaven is brought down on this earth. I believe that one of the first characteristics of apostolic praying or ambassadorial praying is to recognize the third heaven as a source of supply. Recognize the third heaven. There are three heavens. The third heaven is where God is, where Paul went and he saw glories of God and all that. He said that. So there is a third heaven. That implies that there is a second heaven. The Bible talks about the heavenly places where principalities and powers in heavenly places. They are not in the third heaven. They are in the heavenly places. And then there is the atmospheric heaven, which is the first heaven. It is really part of the earth in, by way of definition. All right? So if you look at Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, the Bible tells us that, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He did not say that he is going to supply our needs according to the riches of the nation in which you are, according to the riches of Ghana, or according to the riches of Africa, according to the riches of Europe, or according to the riches of USA, according to the riches of Japan. No, Paul says that we should recognize the third heaven as our source. That is glory. Says that because you are an ambassador and I have sent you, it is heaven that must supply what you need. So that the people of this earth, they see that there is a difference between you and then them. Because whereas they are waiting for their supply to come from their government, you are not waiting for that. You are waiting for the supply to come from glory. And Paul was not getting over spiritual when he said this, because some people in Philippi had ministered to his need, and he said that he was thankful. He wrote a letter. He said, I thank you for supplying my need and all that. And he told them that my God is going to supply what you need according to his riches in glory, not on this earth, by Christ Jesus. I believe that in apostolic praying, we should recognize heaven as our source. We should be able to look up to heaven like Jesus looked up to heaven when he was going to kingdomize our wilderness and provide food for those 5,000 men plus women and children. Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 that he took the bread and he looked up to heaven. I believe that he was importing the riches of glory and he was making it available in the wilderness where he had to feed the people. Now in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 38, the Bible says that men are going to give unto our bosom. You give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking over, shall men give unto our bosom. Now because of this, sometimes people have a problem looking to heaven as their source. They look to man as their source. They look to men because the men are the vessels. But God does not want us to pray to men. He does not want us to look to them as our source. He wants us to look to him as our source. You see, one of the difficulties, practical difficulties that we have is that because we know that when we pray, men donate to the church and things like that. When we want to pray, we have a certain problem. That problem is that we are forced somehow to look to perhaps certain people who have. Because in our mind, we say that, well, if God is going to supply through men, then of course, as we are praying, our mind is on men. Our mind is not on the things above. Where we have power as ambassadors or as apostles, our mind comes on men. That is what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17. That cursed is the man who makes men his strength and whose heart departs from the living God. He is praying, but his heart is on men, not on the Lord. He is praying, but his heart has been deceived. The Bible went on in Jeremiah 17 to say that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, because the heart will let you shift from God, who is your source, to men. And when I talk about men, I am talking about your job. I am talking about your business. I am talking about whatever practical thing that you have through which you can receive money or things. I believe that one of the greatest enemies that we have as far as apostolic praying is concerned is our jobs. Because many of us cannot believe God for anything outside our monthly pay and outside the monies that come per day unto us, outside what we earn every week or every year. But I believe that God wants us to bypass men who pay us and be able to believe God for things as a church outside what men bring in, like tithes, outside what men or the church members bring in as maybe donations. God wants us to be able to lift up our prayers and dare to believe him above our regular natural way of getting money. And that is an enemy to apostolic praying. I dare say that there are many of us who cannot lift up ourselves to believe God for anything because of our history. We have seen that, well, this is what I earn every year, and this is how far I can plan and how far I can go. But I want us to know that in apostolic praying, you are looking to glory. You are looking to the kingdom that sent you. And all of the things that you need, you look up to that place for the supplies that you want. Bible says that the person who looks to God is blessed, and the person who looks to man is cursed. So we need to be very careful that we display apostolic praying. I don't know, but I believe that if we should go into your dreams for the year and all that, you see that it is limited to what you can earn every month. But I believe God is waiting for that kind of prayer that is not looking to men or the business or the job. That kind of prayer that says that, Lord, you are my source, and I'm not looking for the donation and the tithe from men, But I'm looking to you to supply this. He wants that type of prayer. So far, the prayer that we are praying, it is looking to the resources of Africa. It is looking to the resources of maybe the United States. It is not looking to the resources, our riches in the home country, in glory, where we have to look up to and import. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 1. It says that if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And please underline, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, God has taken over your life. He says that you died. You are a sent one. You are an ambassador. You are a delegate. You are an apostle. So, he says that you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are in God. Your life is completely taken over by God. He says that when Christ, who is alive, appears, that is on earth, then you also will appear with him in glory. Can you see the thing that God is saying? Christ will appear on earth, and he says that you will appear with him in glory. Christ, who is in glory, will appear physically on earth, and you will appear with him in glory. You are on earth, you appear in glory. He is in glory, you appear on earth. I want us to know that we are the appearing of Christ. In other words, when you appear, Christ has appeared. That is what Paul is saying. He says, because of that, seek the things which are above, because that is the place where you have authority. Where you have authority is where Christ is seated at the right hand side of God. And he says that because you are also there, then seek the things that are there and set your mind on the things that are above, not your mind on the things that are around us. I believe that there is coming a certain well that is God is going to inject into his church. But it's going to come through apostolic praying. When the early church embraced the way the apostles or ambassadors prayed, the Bible says that they didn't have any lack. The church, when it began, people didn't have needs among them. They were donating to other places. And that is the way that the church of the living God is going to end. When we allow the apostolic influence, the influence of the fact that we are sent once, it affects our lives completely. Hallelujah. So he says that set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on the things which are on the earth. And import those things. Import those things down here on this earth. You have to take the telephone, your prayer, and dial heaven and say that we need these things for me to kingdomize my people in Africa. These are the things that we need for the gospel to go and for the poor to be taken care of. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.